Well, you might recall last September, Randy Alcorn's If God is Good addressed the question that many people, including believers, ask. If God is good, then why is there evil and suffering in the world? Well, for those still wrestling with this topic, Multnomah Books is releasing two additional products to guide readers in their journey toward understanding God's purpose for suffering. The first is The Goodness of God. It contains new materials as well as drawing on portions of the original book, If God is Good, Faith in the Midst of Suffering and Evil. Randy guides readers into a deeper glimpse of God's loving ways and higher purposes. And the other is If God is Good, The Study Guide. It's ideal for those who want to delve into the insights of If God is Good, the larger volume. It's adapted to whatever schedule and approach is most convenient for the reader, and either as an individual or a member of a group wants to work through these studies. Well, Randy Alcorn joins us. He's the founder and director of Eternal Perspective Ministries. He's a best-selling author. His novels include Deadline, Dominion, Deception, Edge of Eternity, Lord Falgren's Letters, The Ishbane Conspiracy, and others. He joins us today. I should mention that he and his wife Nancy, who went to my high school, I might add, they live right here in Oregon. They have two married daughters and four grandsons that they're quite proud of. He joins us today to talk about the goodness of God. Randy Alcorn, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Georgine. Go you Franklin Quakers.
I want to fit in your name as often as possible because it's really good for our ratings. So, Randy Alcorn. seriously, Randy, I was at the grocery store just a few days ago, and I happened to see someone. She was walking into the store with her daughter, and I noticed this little girl was so cute, kind of following behind her. And later, Dan Rice, my husband, came out with her, and they came to the car window, and he introduced her, and apparently we had gone to the same church some years ago. And she was talking about the fact, and my husband asked her, "Are you still going to church?" And she said, "No, I really am not." And she explained that there was a tragic incident involving a member of her family. And that event really caused her to question the goodness of God and why she was there with these people in this service. And she has not really fully recovered or found a satisfactory answer to this question that now has become a seven-year separation from God. And I thought of you, and I thought of this book, and how many people there are whose lives have been transformed by tragedy, sorrow, suffering, who now question the goodness of God and whether or not he is worthy of their devotion or, for that matter, even their attention.
Well, that is so true, Georgina. I mean, I was at a Sam Barlow High School, speaking of high schools, a choir reunion this last weekend where Bob Barber came out, and he's 88 now, and we're all together, and we're singing, and we're talking. Well, I sit down at a table, and the person next to me starts telling me about a tragic event in their life. And then somebody comes up and says, you know, I'm here with my spouse. Nancy wasn't able to be with me that night. And so you've got one chair here next to you, an extra chair. Could we take these two places, and can you go over there, which I was glad to do, and sit down next to some old classmates? And sure enough, one of them starts telling me a story, and then another one on the other side takes me aside. Can I talk to you about something? And within a period of about 30 minutes, I hear these tragic stories. And two of the people were believers. One was an unbeliever. But it just surrounds us. And it's the first thing that came to their mind when they'd seen me after all these years. And yeah, it's everywhere. And the thing that I love, Georgine, as you well know, is that God's Word addresses this unapologetically, mm-hmm. directly, and encourages us to raise the question. In fact, it's raised in Scripture. How come, God? How long? Why is this stuff happening? And God's Word has some substantial answers for us, and we shouldn't apologize for raising the question.
Well, you're absolutely right. In fact, I am praying for another chance meeting at the grocery store so that I can give her a copy of this smaller version, The Goodness of God, that deals with these issues, because these are profound questions. And as you pointed out, you were talking to both believers and unbelievers. We might flippantly say, and in fact, one of the things this woman had said was people tried to approach her and offer some sort of answers, and they were wholly unsatisfactory, and they probably weren't the right thing to say. We need to be thinking about the goodness of God and how to articulate that in difficult circumstances and become thoroughly convinced ourselves of His goodness.
And all three of these classmates, I gave, well, two of the three I gave copies of The Goodness of God, and one I gave a little a book called The Promise of Heaven. But in each case, there is a way that we can speak into people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, often, and it isn't just my books I give out, but I do give people books. I do direct them to, and especially something like this. It's a little book, unlike If God Is Good, which was deliberately a comprehensive, large-scale treatment of a subject. But I always like to write smaller books that are spinoffs of larger books that you can just give to people and say, hey, you know, this may just take you a few hours to read this book, or you could take longer and just contemplate it. Short chapters, multiple subjects that relate to the larger subjects, subject of God's goodness in the midst of suffering and evil.
Well, and I do appreciate, because your first book was comprehensive, this is a bit more approachable to someone who might even find that they're in the midst of a challenge. You know, I consider going through suffering, pain, and anguish something like a cataract that oftentimes covers our vision and our ability to perceive God's presence and His goodness. When we're in the midst of it, it seems to me that this book is one great resource for a person who might not be able to read through a longer chapter that goes into much greater detail, but is as thorough in terms of its appropriateness for someone in the midst of suffering or challenge.
Well, you know, we do have these divine appointments almost every day, and I love the term divine appointments. I shouldn't say almost every day, literally, because even if you're homesick, your divine appointment may be with a family member. It may be with a neighbor that drops by. It may be somebody that gives you a phone call. But every day, God gives us opportunities to connect with people. And those people are there sometimes to minister to us, but always we are there to serve them in some way. And 2 Corinthians 1 talks about how in the midst of our suffering, our difficulty, God comforts us. We face grief, sorrow, and God gives us comfort in the midst of it. And He comforts us, 2 Corinthians 1 says, in order that we might be able to comfort others with the same comfort we have received from God.
Yes. You know, I think there are probably some among our listeners who have accepted because the Word says that God is good, but have not become convinced because of some difficult circumstance that we've either witnessed or been a part of. And I think it's important for us to search the Scriptures, and I think this book, The Goodness of God, is an excellent way to do that. Is God really good? Can I know that to be true, not just sort of accept the idea without exploring what God says about Himself in His Word, so that we can be thoroughly convinced that that is a true statement, and we can convey that to others.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is so great to know that even though we don't understand everything, we don't know the answers, there's a lot of things we don't get. We know the one who does get them, and someday the things that don't make sense now will make sense.
Amen. Amen. Well, you cover some important topics in The Goodness of God. Our listeners might be somewhat familiar with the larger volume, but kind of go through the table of contents, what they can expect here, so that they understand that this provides depth in a much shorter form, but it provides the same kind of depth that they would expect from Randy Alcorn and they found in If God Is Good.
Some of the things that are dealt with in the book are tragic choices that we have made as a human race. The origins of evil and suffering go back to us, to choices we have made. Sometimes people ask, well, why did God, who's all good supposedly and all powerful supposedly, why would He create a world full of evil and suffering? And the answer to that is He didn't. He created a perfect world, and He promises a perfect world to come, and He bought that with His own blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. There's a chapter called What's Wrong? I Am, and that's a takeoff on what G.K. Chesterton said when he was asked to write an essay on what's what's wrong with the world? And he submitted the shortest essay in history. I am sincerely yours, G.K. Chesterton. You know, because the world, what's wrong with the world? I am. That's the problem. And then there are the alternative answers. There are explanations for evil and suffering. They're offered by different worldviews, and there's a clash of these worldviews, and there's relativism, there's atheism, there's the problem of goodness that stems out of, you know, we're always asking this question, why would an all-good God create a world with suffering and evil? Well, there's suffering and evil in the world, and why? Well, sure, but there's also so much goodness in the world. That's a problem for the naturalistic worldview. Mm-hmm. Well, where does all this goodness come from? And, you know, there's the question of why is there so much evil in the world? And there's the issue of God's sovereignty or his control and our freedom.
We're going to take a quick break. I'd like to invite you to continue to run down the subjects that are covered in The Goodness of God. You're listening to The Georgene Rice Show. We have 4 copies of Randy Alcorn's book, The Goodness of God, that we'd like to give away to the first 4 callers, either for yourself, for the sake of someone that you know would benefit from a book like this, or just to have it ready and available for one of those divine appointments. Our telephone number, 1-800-845-2162. First 4 callers, a copy of The Goodness of God. 800-845-2162. You're listening to The Georgene Rice Show.
You are listening to The Georgene Rice Show podcast. Brought to you by Multnomah Biblical Seminary.
We're back. You're listening to The Georgene Rice Show, 50 minutes after 4 o'clock. We're talking with Randy Alcorn, the author of many books. His most recent is a condensed version of his early work on the goodness of God. This is titled The Goodness of God, and it contains bonus material. It's an encouraging overview of some tough issues that offers hope to people in personal times of suffering. I also want to mention that there is a study guide now to go with the larger volume, If God is Good, and that is also now available. You may want to avail yourself of that as you are studying the subject of God's goodness. Now, Randy, you were talking about some of the subjects that are covered in this smaller volume titled The Goodness of God, Assurance of Purpose in the Midst of Suffering. And you were talking about why so much suffering and questioning why God allows evil and delays justice, which I think is a major question for many people.
Right. You know, that question even of why does God delay justice, when we look at it, we think, why, Lord? Why don't you just make things right now? Get rid of all the evil in the world. Okay, so are we ready for God to get rid of us? I mean, because we're contributors to this problem of evil. If God were to snap his fingers right now and make everything right, which he will do one day, then it's the end of our opportunity to repent, to turn around. It's the end of our opportunity to serve him in a world that's gone wrong. It's our opportunity to share the gospel with people that don't know Jesus Christ. I think about this sometimes, and I say this in The Goodness of God. What if God would have answered the prayers of people back in 1969 who said, God, I can't stand it anymore. You've got to return. You've got to bring an end to the evil in this world. Well, if that would have happened, if God would have answered their prayers that day, I never would have known Jesus Christ, because I didn't come to know him until later that year. You know, so we've got to think in terms of the opportunities that there are as a result of God being patient. He is long-suffering toward us, we're told in 2 Peter, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has reasons for delaying his justice, and certainly God has purposes for things that we wonder about, things that we want more clarity concerning. You know, we'd like to know why, but we don't know why about many things. But, you know, that's where faith comes in. That's where trust comes in. God is up there and down here at the same time, and he has a purpose, and that purpose is not always known to us. Romans 8:28, which is one of the major themes that I'm dealing with in this book, The Goodness of God, you know, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. Really? All things? I mean, everything? Well, all things means all things. I mean, that's what it means in the original Greek, and that's what it means to us today. And yes, God will bring those things, even those things that involve evil and suffering, and that's exactly what he's talking about in Romans 8. He will bring them together, and in the end, when we're in his presence, it will make sense. Where faith comes in is learning to trust him about those things right
mm-hmm,
now.
Mm-hmm. You have a chapter, Are We Promised Prosperity? Sometimes our questioning of God's goodness has to do with having a view of our expectation of what we're entitled to in God. Health and wealth are the two things that you cite in that chapter.
Right. People often think in those terms, and even those who don't think they subscribe to the health and wealth gospel, prosperity theology per se, nonetheless assume that things really should go our way. And, you know, when's the last time something really went exactly the way you wanted it, Georgine? I mean, not me. I mean, I look at my life and I say, yes, okay, there are things. I go, yeah, that was great. That was just right. But there are most things, and certainly many things for us, that don't go our way. Well, then some people question their faith. I mean, they say, well, what's wrong, God? I mean, things didn't go the way that I thought they should have. You know, you don't do things my way. He doesn't do things our way, but he does things his way, and that is so much better. But we don't always understand that, and that's why in writing The Goodness of God, I just wanted people to think in terms of, you know, things don't have to be what we want them to be in order to be good and right, and we don't always understand, in fact, we often don't understand why God does what he does, but in the end, we're going to see those things woven together in this beautiful tapestry. But if you look at the underside of the tapestry
yeah.
rather than the on top, then you're just going to see knots and frays, and it's not going to make
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, what on earth is this? Well, you always guide your readers or your listeners, whatever you happen to do. You always encourage an eternal perspective. And I don't think you can have the kind of patience that is required in the midst of suffering or in anguish or in pain unless you have an eternal perspective. This moment is not all that there is, that there is an eternal plan. We are part of that plan, and God enunciates so much of what we can anticipate in the future.
Well said, Georgine. I always appreciate talking with you, and your perspective on this is exactly right, and this is what God reminds us of always in his word. We look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things which are unseen are eternal.
Mm, that's so good. The Goodness of God, Assurance of Purpose in the Midst of Suffering, published by Multnomah. Before I let you go, I want to give you an opportunity to just comment. You also have a study guide that's recently come out that goes along with the larger volume, If God is Good.
That's right. This study guide, I think, is pretty unique in that it's geared to cover the larger subject of the book in just 4 weeks or 8 weeks or 13 weeks in a more detailed way. And the way that we've designed it is you're just going to answer these questions in the four-week study. Then here's some more issues to deal with and some more insights for 8 weeks. And then here is yet more for the full 13-week study.
Well, that's a great resource, I know, for people who work their way through the larger volume to have an opportunity to think through some of the issues that are raised there. The books are currently available online and in bookstores?
That's right, and yes, you can come to our website, epm.org, or you can go to bookstores. I was just in Borders the other day here in Gresham and saw multiple copies of The Goodness of God, and you can get them online as well, as you said.
Okay, I have to ask you, do you actually ever sleep? Are you working on something else? Are you writing something else?
Well, I always have something going, but I usually do get a good night's sleep. But as Nancy will testify, I come to bed pretty late.
So. Well, we appreciate your carving some time out to be with us this afternoon.
Well, it was a pleasure.
God bless you, Randy.
You too, Jordan.
Bye-bye. I just love him. Randy Alcorn, best-selling author of Heaven. His latest volumes, The Goodness of God, Assurance of Purpose in the Midst of Suffering, and then the study guide, If God is Good, is also available for those who want to go deeper in his larger volume, If God is Good, Faith in the Midst of Suffering and Evil.